Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast on WGNRadio.com alongside Scott King, who writes for Chelsea Blocker for WGNRadio.com. I'm Chris Bowden, your host for Blackhawks Pre and Post. And unfortunately, we didn't hear a final version of that as we record on Tuesday afternoon from the Monday night game against the San Jose Sharks, coming off a 4-3 shootout loss to the Sharks. Scott, real entertaining game Monday night against the Sharks. Those who showed up got their money's worth, and give fans credit. I mean, they continue for the most part to pack the United Center, whether it's the regular season ticket holders or whether they're giving them away. I thought that building was alive last night. The two teams gave reason for it to be alive because it was a real entertaining game. And I went back and watched that overtime this morning, that 5-minute overtime this morning, and it was absolutely off the charts in watching it in replay as it was live. They just couldn't get that final goal in the shootout.
Yeah, well, welcome back. It's nice to have you back, first of all.
Thank you.
Good job with the call. I know you're going to get into that later, but I enjoyed watching it. You and Jamal calling the high school championship. But now the fans are still, they're still very active. They're still getting up for the anthem, making a lot of noise. They were in an overtime and in the shootout. I think a lot of the reason is all these recalls and, you know, being in a position where you're not going to make the playoffs, being able to give all these younger guys a look. And you saw that with 6'5 forward Victor Edsel, mm-hmm. 213 pounds, listed 214 some places. And that's a guy who, when you see him in the room, he's as big as he's every inch and pound as big as they say he is, and that's usually not the case with a lot of guys on the sheets.
Yeah, and it's audition week and a half now. As of Tuesday morning, the Blackhawks making some more moves. They decided to sign the University of Denver defenseman Blake Hillman, who was a 2016 sixth round draft pick, was a senior. And there's some, you know, debate as to whether he, you know, what he will be at an NHL level if he makes the NHL. You know, perhaps nothing more than, you know, a number five or six defenseman, absolute ceiling, maybe a second pair type guy. He's not the type of dynamic offensive defenseman that his defensive partner was at the University of Denver, and that's the Blackhawks' second-round pick from this past season, Ian Mitchell, who has a much higher ceiling that scouts are much higher on. But again, the auditions continue. He is going to join the team immediately, along with Dylan Sakura, who will make his Blackhawks debut on Thursday against the Winnipeg Jets. We'll hear from Sakura in just a bit. But I wanted to find out, your impressions of what you saw from Victor Edsel in his debut. As Joel Quenneville said afterwards, the stat sheet doesn't look very pretty, but I also think that I was pretty impressed with the presence that he had out there, and he certainly didn't look out of place for a guy who's apparently still suffering from jet lag, since he just came over from Sweden late last week and assigned to the Rockford Ice Hogs. Hurry, quick, kid, play two games on the North American ice and then join the NHL.
Yeah, got a point in one of those two games. And I was the one who asked you about him, and you can tell Joel is very impressed. And I think he was referring to the -3, plus-minus rating, right, -3 is what he was mentioning. But, you know, he gave him some minutes on the top power play unit. He got a couple shots on net, a couple hits. I thought he used his frame really well. And for a guy that big, you don't expect him to move well, especially his first NHL game. And I thought he moved well. I thought he handled the puck well. And you're under a lot of pressure. Just something else I asked him about, you could read it in Chelsea Blogger. It pretty much got a lot out of him. He was great in the room. You don't expect him to maybe measure up to play with a Brandon Sutter or Patrick Kane, a guy that big in his first game on a top line. It's not just keeping up with them, but he's against the other team's top line and, mm-hmm. and has a lot of defensive responsibilities there. So I thought he had a really good, strong game, and Joel liked him too.
Caught behind a little bit on the Marcus Sorensen goal. It was a great pass by Yannick Hansen behind the net, and Marcus Sorensen was just a step ahead of him on that first goal of the game. And otherwise, you know, I thought he showed pretty well. A couple times where the puck was on his stick, wasn't quite able to get a shot off in time. But this is the benefit of what the Hawks are able to do. Yes, it stinks that they're not making the playoffs. This is kind of the bookend of, you know, what has been a 9-year run, a 10-year bookend, if you will, because it's been 10 years since they last did not make the playoffs. But as long as you're in this position, let's get an opportunity to see what kids you have in your system, bring them aboard as quickly as possible, and throw them out there into the fire, make them be a sponge. You'll hear Dylan Sakura say that's what he has to do mostly here. That's what's going to benefit him for these five games. And if Blake Hillman is able to get in, this gives them an opportunity to see at the highest level what these kids who they are right now, what their capabilities might be, and then heading into the offseason, things to work on.
You know, real quick, Chris, I think the best thing actually Edsel did last night that I didn't mention was going 5 for 9 on a dot, 55 in faceoffs, 55%. And that's something you look at, and he's out right now, Taves, but you look at all the other centers, guys were fighting to get anywhere near 50% all season. That's right. A big area that hurt them this year in being able to get possession from a faceoff. So right away, kid steps in, first game, 55% on a dot, so that was great. And actually, you're talking about the younger players. I actually counted, Sakura was placed on the roster on their website yesterday. He's expected to play Thursday. And I counted all the guys 23 or younger, 9. That's about half the team is 23 or younger now. And, you know, obviously they're not competing for a playoff spot or really even getting ready for playoffs. You're looking at guys what they can bring. But that's good to have that kind of youth and that many guys to get a look right now.
And granted, we're looking at this as a glass half full opportunity, but that's the only thing you can really do right now. I know a lot of Blackhawks fans are frustrated in the place they're at right now, but I also think there's a little bit of buzz in terms of, you know, now there being a little bit of meaning here for this final week and a half, for these final 5 games, 6 games if you count the Monday night contest against San Jose. Because, you know, I thought they hung pretty tough against what perhaps maybe the hottest team in the league and put on a pretty good show. And, you know, now it's a chance to start writing some of these chapters in terms of what you have with some of the kids. Let's now hear from Dylan Sakura. We had a chance to chat with him. Wasn't activated before Monday's game. He was signed. The official announcement came on Monday morning that he was signed, and he'll expected to make his debut on Thursday against the Winnipeg Jets. And among the things he talked about, the whirlwind of the last couple days, his season ending at Northeastern during the NCAA tournament, and you know, how he's going to adapt quickly here and what he can take from 5 games at the NHL level coming up here starting Thursday against Winnipeg.
You know, it was pretty crazy the last 48 hours, just, you know, the college season kind of coming to an abrupt end there, and you know, finally getting signed and getting to Chicago now is nice. And you know, first day, just kind of trying to get acclimated, get the feel of it, and trying to just introduce myself to as many people and just learn from them as quick as I can.
You expect to be in the lineup Thursday? Everything will be cleared up by then?
Yeah, hopefully. You know, I'm just here, just practicing, hopefully get on the ice Wednesday and wait till some of the paperwork gets figured out, and then we'll go from there.
Is there ever any doubt that you would be here whenever college ended for you?
No. You know, there's obviously some people a little doubt, but, you know, I think just a big focus for me at the school is just to focus on, you know, what I had at school there. And, you know, there's a reason I went back for my senior year there, is to try to win. And, you know, we got that beanpot there, but, you know, I just try to stay grounded there and keep this whole Chicago thing in the background until, you know, my college season ended and then end up here.
What do you feel like you accomplished your senior year to make you more prepared for this?
You know, personally, I think a lot. You know, I think I kind of got everything out from it that I could have. And, you know, obviously winning that beanpot was pretty special. And, you know, going to the tournament and going back to the Hockey East and, you know, playing at the Garden is always special. So, you know, obviously being here is pretty special. And, you know, I'm happy I got that senior year under my belt.
What do you feel like accomplishing 5 games here? What can you show? What can you learn?
You know, just try to be a sponge and try to learn from the older guys and the coaching staff. And, you know, it's a little adjustment, but, you know, just get a little experience here and, you know, get my 5 games in and hopefully learn as much as I can and, you know, come back next year.
What do you feel like the biggest adjustment will be from college to the NHL?
You know, just the speed, the size, you know. There's no bad players at this level. And, you know, it'll be a little adjustment, you know, time and the space of the puck out there. But, you know, I'm just excited to get going.
Have you talked to anybody yet or had any advice from any of the players yet?
Yeah, just try to talk to a couple guys here. And obviously, I know some of the younger guys just from over the years, and was able to hang out with a couple of them last night, and it's cool to see them here.
You know Joel Quenneville a little bit? Is he kind of a family friend?
Him and my uncle know each other a little bit, but you know, I've just met him over the years at development camp, and obviously nice to see him today.
What's the gamut of emotions you've been through with ending your college hockey career and starting the next chapter for your professional career?
Yeah. It's a little bittersweet. You know, obviously not the way we want to end at Northeastern, but, you know, a lot to be happy of, a lot to be proud of there. And, you know, obviously just to take the step and next step in my direction and in my career is pretty special. And like I said, I'm just happy to be here right now.
Who do you have winning a national championship now that you guys are out?
Pardon me?
Who do you have winning a national championship now that you guys are out?
I'll go with Notre Dame. Keep it around in this area.
Dylan Sakura, he's not going to let BC or BU or any of those other teams, actually a couple of those are knocked out right now, but he's not going to give props to any of those other teams and wants to keep it local here. But Dylan Sakura at Northeastern, again, a 2014 sixth round pick. And if this kid pans out to, you know, perhaps becoming, if not a top six, you know, perhaps a third line forward in his NHL career for a sixth round pick, you'll take that. In his senior year at Northeastern, 22 goals, 54 points in 35 games, average 1.54 points per game. And kind of excited to see what he can bring to the table here.
Yeah, he scored a power play goal in that elimination game versus Michigan. Nice, got himself open on a man advantage and buried it. And he is not 6'5", 213.
I believe
he's, I mean, what would you put him at, Chris?
I think he's 5'11", and, you know, probably about 170. It was funny. It was, you know, during the media scrum yesterday, you're standing there a couple feet away from him, and you look down. And there's some lower body development that's going to happen. His legs are fairly thin, but then, you know, you think about being concerned about that, and then you look at Alex DeBrincat in the locker room as well, who's all of 165 pounds soaking wet. And so it's a speed and a skill game right now. Yes, he's going to have to become get a stronger base. But by the same token, you know, you see what Alex DeBrincat's able to do at this level. You know, I'm curious to see what he can do. He's not the type of sniper that Alex DeBrincat is. He's more of a playmaker type, but he certainly scored enough goals in his senior year.
We look at the rest of the league, too. Teams are taking chances on guys who are smaller. Mm-hmm. It's not taboo anymore. You know that these guys can measure up to the speed and the skill, and it's a much faster, more skilled league and sport now. And you just look at over the last couple of seasons, the organization, the players have kind of always told us that this is a guy who's going to be here as soon as he can be here.
Right.
There's been that feeling around the team. So, you know, he's getting his chance soon. It'll be really interesting to see how he plays.
And I thought it was interesting when he was asked about whether there was any doubt he was going to be here as soon as his college season, and if time allowed. Again, if they'd made the Frozen Four, there's no way that could have happened. But, you know, unfortunately for him, and somewhat to the Blackhawks' benefit, he does get knocked out last weekend, so this opens up a five-game opportunity. Yes, it burns what is a first year on an entry-level contract after only five games, and he'll be a restricted free agent a year from now. But he said there was never any doubt he would end up signing with the Blackhawks one way or another. I think during the whole season, he kind of had to leave that door of opportunity open strictly so he could focus on Northeastern. But this won't be a repeat case, at least, of what happened with Kevin Hayes, 4 years ago, I believe, four or five years ago, when it opened himself up for free agency, decided not to sign with the Blackhawks, become a free agent. He ended up signing with the New York Rangers. And Kevin Hayes has a career-high 21 goals this season for the New York Rangers. So Stan Bowman was pretty confident it would happen, and he was able to close the deal with Dylan Sakura.
So if you had to guess, where would Joel plug him in? Because, as you said, right now, things don't matter. You're not going to make the playoffs. What matters and what could pay dividends is seeing these young guys play and see how they fit into the system. So where do you put him with a Kane, you know, like they did with Edsel, to see what he has?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that quickly. I kind of liked on Monday night what the Hinnisaros with Smoltz to bring.
I was going to say, even though those guys aren't, you know, really. Wait, is that the second line now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I like those guys, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? If you wanted to try him out that way, you know, whether you wanted to put him on with an Anisimov, I'm not sure how that fit works. You know, there are smarter minds than myself to handle
that type
of stuff.
Let's not say things we can't take back.
No. They're definitely smarter minds. But, morning skate on Thursday will be interesting. Practice on Wednesday, morning skate on Thursday will be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
And I think Hillman's in the same boat where he's going to burn this year in just a couple games. You figure he's going to get in. His is a two-year contract that ends next season. So he'll probably burn a couple. He'll burn a year and have a couple games.
Right, and you know they're going to have to make some tough decisions here because you know as we've talked about before, there are a lot of defensemen kind of in the same boat here between Connor Murphy, who has a bigger cap hit, Eric Gustafson, Jan Ruda. You have Gustav Forsling, who's also in the mix. You know how many of these guys are going to be ones you can rely upon when this team becomes good again, whether it's going to be as soon as next season, whether it's 2 years down the road, who are going to be players who are factors. And I think that's part of the reason why Stan may have committed to 2 years tops with Jan Rutta and Eric Gustafson as well, with guys like Henry Jokiharju in the system, with Ian Mitchell down at the University of Denver. Those guys have a little bit higher ceiling in terms of how scouts are viewing them at the NHL level. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting mix. I still see Stan Bowman going out in free agency and trying to add to that defensive mix, and it may require him moving one of the guys that he has right now in a trade in order to kind of loosen that logjam.
But it'll probably only be one guy and one move, because he signed Rutta and Gustafson to those extensions. Now, in him doing that, Chris, is he saying that I have a lot of faith in Jokiharju and Mitchell, or is he saying, you know, I got some faith that Keith and Seabrook are going to regain a step next year and play a little better next year? Which one do you think he thinks is more likely to be comfortable to give those two guys an extension?
Well, he has to have Keith and Seabrook take another step next year.
Yeah.
And I think this opens up a window where I think, yeah, Jokiharju will probably be in training camp next year. He'll certainly be given the opportunity, whether you want to throw a 19-year-old into the NHL mix that quickly. It certainly happened before. I think Victor Hedman did it. We've even seen a couple of kids this year during the course of the NHL season be exposed, whether they've remained at the NHL level or not. I'm not quite certain. But that's going to be an interesting watch. And at least I think Gustafson does have an option to be sent back down to Rockford next year. And I think one thing I mentioned on the postgame show last night, we were discussing Erickson's, or rather Gustafson. That's kind of a combination between Eric and Gustafson. Gustafson's defensive play last night, where there are a couple of lapses. Going back and watching the game today on that third San Jose goal, where it looked like it may have been Gustafson's responsibility, it was Connor Murphy who came over.
He played the
from
body.
His side, yeah. Played the body. Left his man open, and Gustafson got caught in the traffic there, and that allowed Hurdle to go in. So I take that back from the postgame show about a Gustafson mistake. And then you see what he did against Evander Kane in overtime, where he took the puck away from him behind the net there. You see the potential of this kid. So I think that's what, you know, Stan Bowman may be riding on, you know, his defensive ceiling growing a little bit under the tutelage of Joel Quenneville and Ulf Samuelsson, provided both of those guys are back next year.
I asked Connor about that play, if he would have done anything differently. He said probably not really. He thinks his stick got Gustafson and kind of knocked him down.
Right.
So just kind of maybe a freak thing.
But you're risking some traffic there.
Yeah, it looked like a lapse, but it could have been a freak thing too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And by the way, no update on Jonathan Toews and Anthony Duclair as of Monday. In terms of their status, again, as we creep closer to the end of the season, you know, obviously the door kind of shuts on that, especially as they try to look at more kids here. And also no news on Corey Crawford as well. And Monday was about the first time I saw Joel Quenneville, after morning skate, pretty much say that door is closing rapidly right now. And there'd been a little bit of news on Tuesday afternoon about some potential goalie shuffling as well between what's going on after a couple of Anton Forsberg performances.
Yeah.
What was there was a tweet or a report out of Canada.
Out of a Montreal reporter. I thought that's what you were alluding to. Sorry for my mental lapse.
That's okay.
Our daughter came in at 5 a.m. after the game. And we made the mistake of doing the crib to full bed way too early.
Oh no. Yeah, then
and
they wake up when you lay
and
down.
She's I think she's Mary Tyler Moore, just walking on skipping all over the house now. everyone appreciates that reference. Everyone
right.
My age. It was a reporter in Montreal said that Berube had been placed on waivers. And this is I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name, but has a lot of followers, usually correct. So we'll see if that's confirmed by the team later. But we were talking that I guess you would assume Glass is coming back then, and maybe not.
Yeah, Colin DeLeo has been playing fairly well down in Rockford, and you know they're trying to make a push to make the playoffs. And if that's the case, and they've been playing really well lately. You know, it's top four of the Central Division make the playoffs by win percentage, and even though they had some more points than other teams recently, the win percentage wasn't as good, so you know that allowed some other teams to be in the mix there. But they're trying to make a push to make the playoffs, and certainly if that's the case, you know, maybe Jeff Glass would get the call as a backup again over Colin D'Elia, who's been getting the bulk of the duty down in Rockford. But again, they've been playing really well lately. Matthew Highmore, by the way, was sent back by the Blackhawks on Tuesday morning as they continue this roster shuffling here. So, again, Dylan Sakura set to make his Blackhawks debut on Thursday. Another thing to watch. We'll see how closely that they bring or how quickly they bring Blake Hillman into the mix as well. So, what did you and Joe kick around? True confession, I never ended up listening to the podcast last week. So how did it go? Who did you nail last week?
No feelings hurt. No, Joe, you know, he's written, Joe Knowles, who was on our show last week, you guys should listen to, because we had Joe on talking about some of the columns he wrote about the Hawks this year. Really, I thought, fair and balanced. He just kind of talks about all the problems with the team, and he's been doing it all season. And as we know, Chris, nothing has changed this season. So it's mainly been defense and goaltending and sometimes lack of scoring. But, yeah, Joe just kind of gave his assessment of the state of the team, what to expect in the future. And, you know, I kind of got him to speak very candidly about what's going on with the Tribune and layoffs, and he's having to lay off some sports writers that he's close friends with, been friends with for over 30 years. So it was really interesting talk there, and we kind of talked about how the newspaper business and kind of media outlets in general are going to have to evolve as time goes along here. So good stuff from him. And then
now I'm definitely going to go back and listen.
Oh no, he was great. It was a great show, and I'm happy to play second fiddle today.
You know, and our good friend Chris Cook, unfortunately was let go. Then Paul Skorbita, who took
Paul's
over the Blackhawks
Paul and Chris are friends, and Chris was on our show, one of my favorite episodes with me and Mike that people should also listen to. Talked about all the, glory days of the Hawks beat. Great stuff from him, and he'll do something. I mean, a writer like Chris Cook and a reporter like him is not going to sit around for long.
You'd hope not.
You hope not, but you don't know this day and age. And then Kendall Coyne gave us a call. She had a charity event in your neck of the woods, the plush horse.
Oh, yeah.
I took my family. We had a great time. Very nice time. She let my daughter hold her gold medal. Timeless picture.
Was she just there, an appearance with the gold medal, signing autographs?
Her and Mr. Schofield were there. Okay. He had his Super Bowl ring. He had his Chargers.
And she's soon to be Mrs. Schofield.
Yes, that's correct. And they'll probably be in L.A. sometime soon, just taunting us with the weather there. But he had his Chargers jersey on, so nice to meet him. Great guy. And I actually saw yesterday on Twitter they raised $17,000 for a kid who was in a snowmobile accident.
Wow.
From Orland. So $17,000 certainly going to help that situation. So, you've just been seeing her pop up everywhere, taking pictures with kids, letting them hold the medal. You know what her and her fiance are doing is really awesome.
Yeah, she was at the high school championships dropping the ceremonial first puck before the girls game, which is won by New Trier Green, and before the boys game, which was eventually won by Loyola Academy Gold. Had you ever been to the plush horse before or no?
No, I hadn't. You know, my wife and her family are from Orland. Her family's still there, so we stopped by after, and it's all I've heard about since I've been even dating her.
They're getting a bunch of free advertising from us here. But,
I know. No, I'm trying to get something going here. We still need a sponsor. Plush horse, you're listening. We'll do some tastings on the show. And, because I always grew up, my dad grew up at 79th and Cicero, so I was always a rainbow ice cream
guy. I didn't know you were a native Southwest Sider either. Because when Courtney, your sister, interned for
worked
CSN.
Yeah,
interned for CSN, now big time investigative reporter now
in
South Carolina. Right. But I thought, I remember her telling me you guys were in the western suburbs for a while.
Southwest, Burridge. Burridge.
Okay.
I'm in Western Springs now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. I did not know that. Things you learn along the way. Because, I was a Burbank guy growing up. And,
yeah, that was right there.
So no rainbow cone well. But we would veer off to the plush horse every once in a while.
I finally got in there. You know what? A lot to choose from. I was very impressed.
Right.
And we Kendall recommended get the Cookie Monster ice cream. Blue chocolate chip. It's dyed blue. My daughter got it. Huge mess, but
yes.
she loved it.
And just all of a sudden, she was a Cookie Monster.
Yes,
right?
Yes, she was.
Right. Yeah.
Great time.
Good times over at Plush Horse all the time. You can guarantee that. All right, can we get a sponsorship now?
Yeah, I hope so.
Sure.
I'm going to call them.
So as we look forward here and count down the days towards the end of the season, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe yesterday. Now we're down to two home games for the rest of the season. Difficult to believe it's flown by this fast, but there's still some important games. Like I said, I love the way that they pushed a pretty hot team all the way to overtime in a shootout against San Jose, and now I'm curious to see not only how some of these new kids do, but also whether Anton Forsberg can continue to hold the net. Had one of his better performances on Saturday in Brooklyn. Perhaps the Evander Kane breakaway goal, where it kind of seemed to go through his equipment, may have been the only one.
I pointed
one.
Out a little bit. It kind of dribbled through those ones you went back.
May have been the only one. I also think Anton's feeling a little bit of pressure now, knowing that we're barreling towards the finish line. He hasn't put his foot on the neck of at least a backup job so far this season. And after that shootout goal, when he slammed his stick on the ice, you know, he's been a little bit more emotional of late. And I don't know whether that's a tip that, you know, he's starting to feel a little bit of pressure that, you know, he has to get a stranglehold on at least this backup job here that he hasn't done yet so far. But other than the Kane goal, I thought it was another solid follow-up performance. I would expect Joel to give him the net once again against the Winnipeg Jets to see if he can own it here the rest of the way. I think there is, we're down to one back-to-back situation. I'm trying to remember
what it is. I don't remember exactly.
Right, for the rest of the way. So two under his belt. I think we'll give him the game on Monday night. And, you know, now it's a matter of whether he can own this the rest of the way.
He knows the position he's in. He knows he has to play really well. Otherwise, he might not have that backup job. And we still don't know if Crawford's going to start opening night. So, I mean, for me, the goaltending situation is a big question mark. And Forsberg kind of needs to seize that opportunity and kind of pencil himself in there with as many strong starts and finishes as he can the rest of the season. But I think, you know, for that storyline, Chris, and other ones, like the new guys and the young guys we talked about, they're exciting to watch again. It's not, they're just not losing the same way they always do. You're rooting for these young guys to get noticed. And I mean, for me, I was excited to see a guy who's 6'5 and supposed to have a little skill play with Brandon Saad and Patrick Kane. This is why you watch, to see what can happen and who works with who. And, you know, that's hockey. It's exciting to watch again this lineup.
And how a guy like Eidsel shows, you know, he has the same type of frame that Artem Anisimov has. And, you know, as the Blackhawks have to make a decision on Artem Anisimov moving forward, when the window opens up where he has 10 teams that he can be traded to, that's what the contract stipulates starting this offseason. That's a guy who has consistently given what the Blackhawks have lacked all season long, and that's parking himself in front of the net. But again, his goals come in bunches. During that one stretch where he had 7 games in which he scored 5 goals, he has now scored just 1 in the past 11. So, you know, moving forward here, as you start planning for the future, what can Anisimov give you? Can Eidsel be the type of guy who can fill that type of role? These are some of the questions that they hope to find answered. And even if, you know, Eidsel knocks it out of the park here for these final 5 games, you know, that doesn't guarantee he becomes the next Artem Anisimov, because the league adjusts to you. You know, as Alex DeBrincat has found out during the course of his rookie season, you know, and you have to counter with adjustments. Those are some of the tangled web down the road decisions that have to be made based on what you're seeing here from these kids.
Another thing that makes Eidsel interesting, he's got a left-handed shot too. The complete scouting report on him, but yeah, the league will adjust to him, and we'll see if he's able to fill an Anisimov's shoes if they get rid of him, because Anisimov could be a key piece in getting a top two D-man.
Right.
And they finally have some cash to play with, which they haven't in previous years. It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Or if you package him with one of the current defensemen, you know, it's going to be a fascinating offseason. And then, as far as Corey Crawford is concerned, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but yeah, Joel sounding on Monday about as definite as he has been that this isn't going to happen. The fact that he hasn't been back on the ice since that trip to Arizona, and for all the confidence that they had after initially placing him on injured reserve following the Christmas break that he was going to be back sometime this season. And then that, you know, confidence reinforced by him getting on the ice in Arizona and now being set back. Now there becomes, I think, a time limit for Stan Bowman to know where Corey Crawford stands. And he's probably going to have to know by the draft or by free agency whether Corey Crawford has gotten back on the ice and back to full tilt. Because if that is still in question at that point, Stan's probably going to have to be pretty aggressive if he doesn't think Anton Forsberg or whoever can be a number one goalie here moving forward.
Don't you think Stan Bowman and company already have a read on what's either going on with Crawford or what he's dealing with and how he could perform?
It's possible that they are putting a positive spin on it regardless.
Positive or negative. I just think that he... And
no, I mean publicly, though.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I just think that he knows probably where he's at or where he could be at with Crawford as his number one goalie next year.
The fact that it's still a great unknown this late, and he probably has March, April, May, June. Well, there's probably still, you know, there's 3 months before the draft. But at some point, you know, Corey Crawford, there's really not going to be an off season for him. He's going to have to keep working to get back on the ice and start taking part in goalie activity during these next 3 months, even though the Blackhawks season is over, for Stan Bowman to find an answer about that. It's really an interesting, a potential quandary here to look at coming ahead.
Good word.
So, yeah, it is.
Can I use that in my next game story?
You can. And you can use it in your Chicago Magazine article that you're working on. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Just working on and a recap for the Hawks season. It should be there within the next few days, at the earliest, latest, right after the last game. And I did a season preview for them that I guess they were happy enough with, and now I'm doing a season recap. So look for that. I'll be tweeting it out and put it on the Facebook page.
That'll be outstanding. Online?
Online.
Online. All right. Very
the interweb.
Cool. And anything up your sleeve here for the Chelsea Blogger column as well?
I did a kind of a full story / feature game story with Victor Edsel, a lot from him last night, and his teammates and Coach Q responding to his debut. So that's already out there, and I'll be doing my final game story on Thursday.
What?
Thursday.
That's not the final game.
It's my final game story. We're taking my daughter to the home closer with my parents. It's the only time my wife and my family could go.
Okay.
We're taking a young girl.
Okay. Well, if I can miss last week's podcast, Black House Crazy podcast.
Fair. Speaking of which, missing to preserve your throat. How was calling the high school championship game? I thought you did a great job.
Oh, you know, you're too kind. I mean,
I thought Jamal did good. I liked his color. I liked you following the action. And those kids played hard. It was a great game to watch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I let me first apologize to the all the fine players and. And family and friends who are watching that and probably recording it and looking for it to be, you know, something they could stick in their vault forever, having to deal with a guy who had an upper respiratory infection from hell. Healthy all year.
You were.
But then,
of course, you had a perfect record going, a perfect season.
Of course, when it comes time to do play-by-play for a high school game, I had no voice on Friday. I was on the Cochran Show. I tried to be on the Cochran Show on Friday morning, and nothing was coming out. And I think it sent alarm bells to Dave Ennett and Steve Cochran about, hey, is he even going to be able to? But at this point, you know, I had a day to kind of hopefully flush it out and get ready. I was feeling better on Saturday, but then as the game goes on, the thing about the championship game is you hope you can emit some of the emotion in your voice about what's going on, and this was a 2-2 game late in the third period.
It was awesome.
And basically, when you have a sore throat and laryngitis and nasal drip going down as you're trying to describe a game, you're just trying to get through it.
Yeah.
So I feel bad that I wasn't able to emit quite the emotion that some of those hardworking players and rabid family and friends and fans had. And it also gave me a greater appreciation of what John does, how great John Weideman is at what he does. Because, you know, my kind of warm-up going into that was kind of calling the game in my mind during Blackhawks games as John was making his own call. And I'm saying, okay, I can translate this to on the air. Well, it's not quite that easy. You know, it took a while to get set. You know, when you have a cold, your eyes are all messed up. One of my contacts was kind of blurry, too. So
there's nothing worse than a dry contact either.
But to be quiet, those are all the excuses in the world. I needed to be a little bit better. I appreciate the compliment.
No,
but
if I
get the opportunity next year, I will, A, hopefully be healthy, but B, certainly be better regardless of health than that. And I had a great crew to work with. Very entertaining game as well. And props to those kids. 2-2 late. And then Loyola Academy Gold is able to put it away with one goal and then an empty netter, and they ended what was an 18-year drought, believe. So, no, my math is wrong. It was a 22-year drought. 1996 was the last time they had won. First time Stevenson had made it all the way to the championship game. And watch out, because Loyola Gold has a bunch of juniors on their team. Maybe not necessarily the stars, but they'll be back looking for a little bit more next season. And great thanks to everyone who helped out and tried to get me through that. And then I came back here and had to do a pre and post, and everyone here was thrilled with listening to Mr. Frog try and get through that.
Well, so. I don't know if you owe the high school kids and their families a public apology like that. Just now for your math.
I mean, yeah.
I thought you did a great job, with the game action, and I knew you were fighting something, so I could sense a rasp or a scratch here or there.
I felt it.
But I thought you did a very good job. You were a total pro with it.
Last week's podcast was on Wednesday.
Thursday. Someday.
I think Powell asked me to come on Sports Central Wednesday. I said, you know what? I feel this. I feel this thing coming on. And then I think yours was Thursday. And then I said, well, as long as you have a guest and a phoner, can you handle this without me?
It was
Thursday.
You were
kind enough to do that. And there was a Blackhawks game on Friday, and then I woke up Friday morning and there was nothing.
What are you at now? What do you put yourself at? 87%?
There were even times we were talking here. I was starting to lose my voice.
What are you going to be at full speed?
But I don't know. I hoped it would have been yesterday, but it was well enough to get through yesterday and today. But yeah, it's been.
Tell Joe Brand to have some chicken soup for you in the booth.
Something like this going. I was getting a ton of tips from everybody. There was even Matt Brooks, who kind of ran the high school tournament, said he knew the Islanders play-by-play guy say, take a shot of olive oil before you go on the air.
I've heard that.
So I took a shot of olive oil. I tried it. I was that desperate. I tried it. And it didn't help that much.
Oh, my God. Then you just had olive oil stuck in your throat.
And I think when I was doing it, I think Jamal looked over and was wondering, what the hell is he doing?
He's like, is Bowden over here taking shots? We're about to do a high school game?
So nothing worked. So, again, thank everybody for their understanding and patience for that call. And, again, hopefully with the opportunity next year, I'll do a little bit better job, and I can have the type of excitement that game certainly generated. So apologies to all the viewers out there.
Stop apologizing. Chicago. It's fine.
No, it was bad. I felt awful after that broadcast. So
we shouldn't have at all.
12 minutes later, we started Blackhawks pregame. So anything else to touch on here? Any final thoughts? Words of wisdom?
I have none.
Wait, what was for dinner last night? I tried to peek over during second intermission.
You caught me last night.
But now you have, yesterday you had Emily Kaplan sitting next to you, and then there's another girl I'm not sure
she
who
does
she is.
Social media for NHL.
Okay, so she sits right next to the booth, and I'm afraid if she's also eating and I'm staring at you, she thinks I'm staring at her, making her feel self-conscious.
Security.
So I try to take a couple steps up the stairs and look overhead to watch you, but then you can't quite see the angle.
You'd like to try to catch me.
She wasn't there yesterday, but what were you destroying on your plate?
You've been trying to catch me eating like a pig all season, despite what it does to my self-esteem.
What was on the menu last night?
You know what? It was arguably the best dinner. It was sausage and beef combo, like one you get at Portillo's or Bona Beef, and also some lovely chicken taquitos with sour cream. You got to have sour cream.
That's a lot of protein right there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say how many plates I may or may not have had. It's my business.
Well, but, I saw one disappear, so we'll leave it at that.
It was delicious.
All right. Good to be back on with you. I think we have another one scheduled for next Thursday.
Yep, that's correct.
As we'll be heading down the home stretch. At that point, what do we think? Is that one game left? Two games left on the schedule?
Two games after that. You have the home finale.
The home finale against St. Louis on a Friday.
And then is it home and away with St. Louis?
Saturday. Yeah. I think they close at Winnipeg on Saturday.
Okay. I know they have a road game after that.
And good luck to Loyola. Props to them. Good on them.
Sister Jean.
And one thing that the Bulls and Blackhawks are thankful for is the Loyola run here toward the end of the season.
All of Chicago
is. All of miraculous. You got a call for Saturday's national semifinal. How are you feeling against the Maize and Blue?
you know, I don't know that much about college basketball, but it kind of seems like they got, for this stage in the game, it kind of seems like they got the right opponent, maybe.
Loyola's got the right opponent?
Actually, no. Oh, really? Take that back.
Oh, no, no, you can say that, because I think it might end right here, but yeah, I think this is the strongest opponent that they're facing, but based on defense and athleticism.
You know what I just thought? I thought I had a mental breakdown, and I thought that they were about to play Kansas State when they already beat them.
Oh, okay. Got you.
That's so, why I was like, oh, no, yeah.
That's over and done with. No. They're disposed of.
No, they're playing one of the top teams now. It should end here, but I mean, I have watched the games. They keep proving us wrong.
It's unbelievable. So I'll say it ends here with the hope that I'm wrong once again, because that's what usually happens when I predict things. All right. Good to be with you again. Follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Blackhawks, including Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog. And follow me and Scott on Twitter. I'm at Bowden Tweets, and Scott is at Scott King Media. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you again. Our next Blackhawks Crazy podcast coming next Thursday. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the Blackhawks. Enjoy the kids debuting. We'll talk to you next week.